Hey there, Danny with Right Foot Down. I messed up this ad read so many times because I really want to tell you about Track Monkey Apparel. They make great quality enthusiast shirts along with hats, stickers, watches, patches, you name it. A couple of my personal favorites are their Life is Better at the Track tee and their One Track Mind tee. You should really check them out and see for yourself. Their products are great for you or the gearhead in your life. Visit trackmonkeyapparel.com.
You're listening to the Untitled Car Show in partnership with RightFootDown.com. Visit RightFootDown for your daily automotive fix. If you enjoyed today's program, please tell a friend. It's the best way to support this show. If you want to visit the archives, go to YouTube and search for Untitled Car Show. That'll bring you to the archived episodes. If you want to follow this show, just search for Untitled Car Show on Twitter, Facebook, or Instagram. You can always send an email to the show at untitledcarshow@rightfootdown.com. We're so glad you decided to spend the next hour or so with us. Without further ado, let's get into today's program. Thank you for joining us on today's program. I am joined by Mike Garland. He is in charge of public relations and media relations over at Carlisle Events Fairgrounds. I guess that's the right way to put it. What is your actual title over there again, Mike?
I'm the PR manager for Carlisle Events.
Okay. Like, I read that like 100 times over the last week, and you would think I would have it down by now, but it's it's been a day. So we had Mike on last year. It was a great program. We kind of learned all his story coming up and getting into, you know, being the guy over there at Carlisle. And if you haven't heard that show, you should definitely go check it out. And I wanted to bring him back on this year because it's kind of the beginning of the event season coming up here soon. So I think it'd be fun to have him on and kind of talk about what's coming up in the upcoming year and kind of how last year went. So, Mike, let's do the kind of 30-second introduction of you. So you're in charge of the media over there, or the public relations over there. So kind of everyone who wants to come and be, you know, I guess if someone in the public wants information, did they get a hold of you too? Or is this something where you're dealing primarily with just members of the press?
I'm a good starting point for most anything. I mean, I certainly primarily deal with the media. But if someone reaches out to me with a show-specific question, if I can answer it, I will. If not, I can easily kick them off to the event planner associated with whatever show they're interested in, be it forwarding an email or transferring a phone call. So I've been around long enough now that I pretty much know all aspects of it. I don't get involved if I don't have to in certain areas, but I guess if I needed to, I could.
Yeah. You don't want to clean up the garbage. That's something you don't want to be that part of the fairground staff. I understand. Anything outside of that, though, pretty much we can come to you. So
yeah, and you know what, though? Like, seriously, at Carlisle, we all wear a lot of hats, and if that means picking up trash, you do it. You want to have the fairgrounds presented in a way that make people want to come back. You want it to be a welcoming feeling when people are there. So we always get the compliments of how clean the facilities are. I frequent Disney World, and I know that they have a trash can like every 100 feet or something like that. We might not quite have that, but we have a trash crew that's always around picking up after people, because unfortunately you have a lot of people that just aren't capable of putting trash in a trash can. I don't know where that that fault in their personal programming comes from, but they just can't do it, and so we have a great staff that cleans up.
Yeah, that boggles my mind when I see people doing that, when it's like, do you have like some sort of like weird amnesia, like where you just forgot you were carrying something a second ago? Like, something's got to be defective with their wiring. But it actually brought me to a point I kind of didn't think we would get to tonight, but as I was sitting talking with some of the other people in the journalism bit, and I was talking to them about having you on the show tonight, one of the questions they brought up is, you know, how child friendly is Carlisle? And I know we kind of talked about this in the last episode as well, but you know, I don't think people, you know, I think a lot of people, when they think of Carlisle events, they think, you know, it's a big field with, you know, maybe some people are aware of the hill, but they don't realize, you know, it's a good place where you can bring your kids to. Can you kind of touch a little bit on that? Like, how child friendly is it?
We are super kid friendly. We have a lot of kids' activities. We have some show field classes that are geared towards a younger audience, certainly 16 and up, but still geared towards that younger audience. And most of all, kids 12 and under get in free. And we always talk in the office about whether or not we should extend that out to 16. But right now, we sit at 12 and under, get in free. And we have just so many different things to pique the interests of children when they're on site. We have a craft area. We have a bounce house and a swing set for the real youngsters. We have monster trucks at some of our shows. And then just that wow factor of seeing these cool cars as they walk up and down the grounds.
Mm-hmm. Now, I'm more curious, because you got a little one, if I remember right.
I have two, actually. Yeah. I have a six-year-old and about to be a three-year-old. Now, two girls, but that's not to say that they don't still enjoy themselves when they come to the show. In fact, one of the first things they always ask when they come to see me is, can we go to the kids' area? Can we go to the bounce house? Can we go play? And, you know, we do that for a little bit, but then they like to ride on my golf cart, too, and we go around and take a look at the shows.
Yeah. So it's weird because I do think come about 20 years from now, I think that this hobby is going to be primarily women and girl dominated, just based on kind of when I talk to people who have, like, you know, 12 to like 17 year old boys, they're like, they could give less than a crap about cars these days. It's the girls who want to get their driver's license, get in the car, learn about what's going on. I don't know where that change happened, but I'm kind of, you know, excited by it because, you know, it'll be a more friendly place for, you know, I got a little girl as well, and she absolutely adores cars, and that wasn't even me pushing on her. She just, maybe it's genetic, who knows, but it's going to be interesting. So, but kind of back to what my thought is, so you kind of, you know the walk and the talk, so I'm curious, what do you think is better to bring along kit-wise? Do you think a stroller or a wagon is better in terms of hauling around a little one for the
a wagon. I think a wagon, because, you know, if it's one kid, you know, I guess a stroller is not horrible, but I know when I take my two kids out somewhere and we're using the double stroller, it's just wide, and wide is not good in most walks of life. And we have a lot of people that come to the shows and a lot of people that are walking around, and sometimes a pull behind item is a lot better than something that you're pushing, because at least if you're pulling, you are the lead plow, if you will. If you're pushing, your kid and the stroller, regardless of width, is the you know, the lead device.
Mm-hmm. And since we're kind of talking about kit, for the people coming up and see, I like we're immediately off the prepared questions, which is how this show works. But
wait, there were prepared questions?
Kind of, I guess. I don't know. Kind of topics. Who knows? It immediately off on a tangent. That's how this show works. But I think we touched on this last year, but, like, you need to bring, like, the two big things I think you need to have for the show is sunscreen and, like, something to cover your head, because it is, you know, it's a very large area, and I don't think people realize, like, how little cover there is out there. Now, obviously, there's spots, like, you got the place where they do the indoor stuff, and then there's, like, the barns and all that stuff out there, but most of the fairgrounds is uncovered, so sunscreen and a hat, I think, are number one and number two priority to bring with you. Do you kind of agree with me on that one?
Oh, absolutely. I think that you need to always be prepared. I mean, we talk about, you know, being prepared for the show. Bring your water, bring your sunscreen, bring your walking shoes, because our show field is 82 acres, and as best I can think, there's one tree. There's buildings. You can certainly get yourself lost and hide out in those buildings, but those buildings don't have air conditioning either. Yeah. So it's super important to be hydrated. And, you know, I say bring the walking shoes, but the reality is if you're not hydrated, you're likely going to fall over and collapse, so it doesn't matter what kind of shoes you want.
That makes sense. Now, I'm curious, too, because that brought me to another random thought. So what event – I'm picturing a stereotype in my head. I don't want to kind of give it up, but, like, do you have, like, a particular event where you have, like, more people who maybe need to see the first aid tent because they're dehydrated at? is can you like kind of see that between like let's say the import nationals and the Corvettes at Carlisle?
Well, you know, the import shows in May, the Corvette shows in August, so you have different temperature situations going on there. I would say that spring and fall Carlisle have certainly an older audience, but that's also in April and October, so not a lot of temperature issues there. So we seem to make it work. And I don't think there's one over another. The people that come in the summer months during Ford and the Chevrolet show and the Chrysler show, they're in their mid-20s to their mid-60s. And at any show we have people that can't beat the heat or, fall victim. And I think that's just, it's nobody's fault. That's just the way it is. Mm-hmm. But we have first aid, we have misting stations. We've been pretty fortunate with, our customer base and their safety and their health.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, kind of maybe a little darker than, want to talk about there, but it's, I was picturing like the Corvettes at Carlisle, like everyone there, like, I don't know. I have a stereotype of all the Corvette people being super old. So that was where I was, showing my own prejudice, I suppose. I don't know. Corvettes, so you can buy an old Corvette for not that much. So,
yeah, and the people at Corvette aren't super old. They're just, like, their cars are super old. I mean, the Corvette audience, probably more than any other, is super diverse in that you get, 20-somethings that somehow have a Corvette and the money to own one. And then you get the 60s and 70-year-old people that have their 1953 C1s, that's what they drive around. And you'd be surprised maybe at more of the senior audience, if you will, that comes to the Corvette show that now has a C7 or, a Stingray, and they're hauling ass around the fairgrounds just like everyone else.
Yeah, so that kind of brings me to, I'm curious, did we break any records? Was there any sort of, largest attendance, for any particular event last year? Did anything kind of stand out in your head for an event in 2017?
Not last year records wise. I mean, most of our shows were actually up in attendance, but not, let's say, up to a point where we're going to say we shattered a record. We had really good turnouts. Weather was very good for us last year. And I mean, the bottom line is you can plan the best show in the world, but if Mother Nature doesn't agree with you, you're sunk. And it's amazing the audience response as well, because if the weather's nice and they come and they have a good time at the show, well, then Carlisle's done great. Carlisle is really on top of it. They know what we want. But if it rains, somehow we suck and it's our fault.
Yeah. We didn't bring the rain. That wasn't the plan. So,
we can't only like pass the forecast along. We don't,
Yeah. And it can be a little disheartening, I suppose, if you plan it out. Because Carlisle, not super close to any super large city. I guess technically, are you closer technically to Pittsburgh or to Philadelphia? I'm guessing Philadelphia.
We are closest to Baltimore, but Baltimore, then Philly, then Pittsburgh. Philadelphia is probably about an hour and 45, Baltimore about an hour and a half, Pittsburgh's like 2.5. But we're still very centrally located. And we're fortunate with that. I mean, we've always said all roads lead to Carlisle, which essentially is true when you figure you have Interstate 80, which runs east and west in the northern part of the state, 81, which brings you right through Carlisle, north to south, Pennsylvania Turnpike, east to west. 70 is a road that runs across northern Maryland, but right southern Pennsylvania area. Then you have I-83, which emanates out of Harrisburg into Baltimore. 15, which comes up out of Virginia through central Pennsylvania into New York. So there are so many different roads and ways to get into our area that it's really simple. And even like 95, eastern Pennsylvania has Route 95 going north and south, but that's ultimately still, you're 2 hours off of 95 to make it to our facility.
Yeah. And when I've gone up there, it's always been smooth sailing for me. It's because it's a place you want to get there early and kind of stay as late as you can, because there is a lot to see and do. And I think, there's the swap meet, there's the manufacturers coming in, they bring in their stuff. Everyone's kind of, no two shows are the same. And that's kind of what makes it great, because you got this benefit of you know, again, the Ford shows I've attended where it's been Ford comes out, they bring out their, you know, fancy new stuff, but you got, you know, people coming out, they modify the cars there on site. All the people bring in their, you know, latest and greatest and kind of their own modified stuff. And it's such a, it's, you, no two shows are ever going to be the same because the people who turn out aren't the same every year. The manufacturers, everything's different every year. And that makes it fun and exciting. And you're never going to see the same thing. And obviously the swap meet people aren't the same every year, but you know, I don't know. I find them fascinating. I think I'm going to have to do like a whole day of just like watching the swap meet people because they're endlessly fascinating to me. So
it is definitely a different breed of customer. They are all very, very great people, and they're the core of what we do. But there is it's almost a different type of audience, the swap meet audience and the show car audience. It's two very different groups of people. But they all come together with a common love of cars, and that's something that's awesome that they choose to do it at Carlisle.
Mm-hmm. And the part that's fascinating me, so, you know, I can't imagine the swap meet people. Do you know how far away the average swap meet person comes from by any chance?
Most of our vendors, you know, people that are coming within a 500-mile I won't say radius because you get 500 miles to the east, you're well into the ocean. But, you know, like 500 miles east of the Mississippi for the most part. But they're also a traveling group of vendors. You know, much like a circus or a carnival would have their trips and their circuit and their routing, vendors do the same. They, you know, the best example I can give is like Fall Carlisle. They come to Carlisle at the end of September, beginning of October, and then they go to Hershey the next week, and maybe they go somewhere else the week after that. Our shows in Florida, of which we have one coming up in 2 weeks, they go to a show before us in Georgia, they come to us, and then they go on to somewhere else. Or in November, they come to us, and then they go to Daytona for the Turkey Rod Run. So they have their group.
Yeah. I'm going to have to, like, follow one, like, manhunt them like from like a distance, like tag them and just it's fascinating to me for whatever reason. I don't know why. I've just become enamored with them on some weird level. But on the flip side of that, and this is kind of something I'm curious about because someone I actually heard about this from someone else in the automotive community a while back, and I almost thought they were trying to play a game on me. There's talk of like condos and stuff being put up. Is it on the actual fairgrounds or in the near facility of the fairgrounds vicinity?
It's a vacant lot across the street, essentially, from the fairgrounds. They're looking at putting about two dozen what they call car condos in. And if anyone is interested, and I'll try to quickly look this up, but I believe it's I'm not even going to guess on what the website is. I'll just look it up right quick, and then I'll share it. But people can go and they can check out this floor plan through the website if and when I find it at any reasonable time during this interview. Concourse at Carlisle, it's called. Concourse at Carlisle.com. And there's artist renderings of what the condos will look like. And it's an opportunity to be part of something new and something fresh in Carlisle. And if you're a car lover, it's the perfect spot for you. And if you just need a home, which most of us do, also a pretty good spot.
Mm-hmm. Is that in any relation to the fairgrounds? Are you all going to be part of that? Is that something separate?
But it is property that we own, and the space will have been leased out or, I guess, sold off at this point. But it certainly, you know, behooves us to see it being successful. It's less than a half a mile from our facility. Essentially right across the street, and it's a lot that if people have been coming to the shows the last couple of years, they've seen it sit vacant since probably 2013, and they're finally, by this year or even next, going to see some things start rising back out of the ground.
And I think it's such a good idea because there's this, I'm actually familiar, I think the same builders, or at least the same idea, sprung up in my hometown of Naperville, Illinois, which is fascinated me because I'm like, that's weird that was there, but there's a bunch of automotive stuff around the area, so it kind of makes sense. But even more so, there's like places like the Audubon Country Club, which is near to where I grew up, which is, you know, if you like racing, and it's basically on the race course, and you can go out and you can, you know, race, and you come back and you have your spot, or you have like, there's the same thing at VIR, and, you know, you can rent hotels and stuff there, where it makes perfect sense to me, where if you're the kind of guy who is a, let's just go to the Corvette show, for example, if you're the guy who travels every year, goes to, you know, Corvettes at Carlisle, and you're thinking, you know, this is kind of something, you know, I want to do every year, and I like it here, and, you know, that part of Pennsylvania, it's nice, it's, you know, got a, it's the, it's got that nice country atmosphere to it, which, you know, I really enjoy, even though I come from right outside the city of Chicago, but it's, I don't know, I can see it being a, almost like a, not a retirement place, but if you're the sort of person who likes the events at Carlisle, and you have that sort of, like, income, I think it's a great idea, and I think it's the future of how these places are going to be set up, where you're going to have condos and houses and all that stuff around major event centers, because eventually we're all just going to be buying everything on Amazon and all working on the computer anyway. We're just going to live next to the place we want to go hang out at anyway. So
it's possible, but, you know, the other thing is that there are so many people now that just have second homes because of the car shows at Carlisle. Like, they will, you know, they have their home. Like, I know one guy named Alex Sputter. Alex lives in Long Island, but Alex has the means to have a second home right by the fairground, and he does. So when he comes to the shows, he's got a place to stay. And there are a lot of people that are like that, because at the end of the day, it's just much more affordable to have your own place like that than it is to get a hotel. Or, you know, if you're coming all the time, it just, you know, the expense of it all just makes sense.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, no, it's true. If you're going to be spending, you know, because a lot of the show guys, for example, if that's not a on-site thing, that's a thing where you get your car, you know, the super, I'm talking about the people who are, I can't think of a better word to describe it, but like crazy into it. Like, that's their thing. That's, you know, they're getting the car there. They're getting it there on a trailer. They're like washing, prepping, detailing, and all that stuff. And if you have to rent out a space to do that, it makes a lot more sense to have something nearby. So than it does to, you know, have to rent a space constantly to do that, or find a hotel that'll let you use their hose or something like that, for example. So that part of it too even makes sense. And then there are, like, obviously, for those of you who are wondering, there are hotels relatively close by. You know, there's the city center where you do the, you know, the parade, I guess, through the downtown area, which is...
Yes, our Ford and Corvette parades happen in June and August, respectively, and you go right through downtown Carlisle, and that's where you spend your evening, and it's definitely pretty cool to experience. I always look forward to the Ford Parade because it's the first, let's say, like summer night, you know, even though it's not officially summer yet, but we're a couple of shows in, and it's pretty stressful by then, so you enjoy the fact you can get out, maybe stop into the local hotel and have a beer with the people from Ford and walk around and enjoy the cars that are on the streets. And, you know, for me, I grew up in the area, so I mingle with friends that might spot me in the crowd. It's cool. There really is something for everybody at the shows. And sometimes if it's not on the grounds, we take it to the streets of downtown.
Yeah, and it's, again, it's another chance to see all the cars you may have missed on the fairgrounds, because it's huge on the fairgrounds. And cars are coming and going, you know, pretty regularly. You know, a lot of people... Now that's another question I was kind of thinking about too, because someone brought that up to me, which was, how does it work? Like, let's say if you want to buy a engine block off of one of the swap meet vendors, do you have to, and you have to get your car into the fairgrounds? I know there's like fairground ground passes, like if you're coming in to show off your car, but are they going to have to take it off the lot for you and bring it to your vehicle? Do you bring your car onto the lot? I'm sure it's come up often enough that this is... I'm sure there's an FAQ somewhere I could go read, but it's more fun just to ask you.
Yeah, no, absolutely, absolutely. Well, what we actually have is a couple of options. If someone wants to come onto the grounds and get the thing themselves, we ask that they do it either before, I believe it's before 8 a.m., or they wait until after 5 p.m., because we certainly don't want people running people over. And then conversely, maybe they want to just drive their truck to the parking lot right outside the main gate. If our facilities team can manage the the product, they will. You know, they'll take that out and they'll help you do it that way. So certainly there are multiple options for somebody. They can come to guest services. They can go to our security office, and we just make that kind of work for them. Okay. Help them out as best we can.
Makes sense to me. That brings me to another point, too. So there's auctions at some of the events, right, when it comes to cars?
Yes. We have a spring auction. We do five auctions now. We have the one in Florida coming up in 2 weeks at Winter Auto Fest in Lakeland. Then we do a spring and fall Carlisle auction, so three-day events, in conjunction with our five-day swap meet shows. We do another in Florida in November as well, and then we just announced about a month ago we are doing a standalone auction in June, the Carlisle Summer Sale, which will happen on June 16th, and it's a one-day event, but it's the first time that our auction team has moved forward with, like I said, a standalone event. All of these other auctions happen in conjunction with something taking place, at the fairgrounds across the way. So this will be the first time come June that our auction team does something on their own.
And when are you going to get your own show on Velocity? Because I'm tired of seeing Meekum. So,
well, you know what? When the price is right, I think. And we have appeared on Velocity a couple of times with regards to other programming and South Beach Classics with Ted Vernon featured our auction on one of his episodes. But for us to actually be on Velocity or NBC Sports with a Carlisle auction, I wouldn't say hold your breath or you might keel over.
Well, what's the I'm sure this is in there somewhere. What's the most expensive car ever sold at auction at Carlisle?
Oh, geez. We actually just did it recently, and I wish I could tell you what the number was, but it was a Ford GT. We had a 2006 Ford GT that we just moved across the auction block about two auctions ago, and it was our highest selling car of all time.
Do you happen to know what the lowest ever selling car on the auction block was?
And even if I did, I probably wouldn't be proud enough to tell you.
I'm just picturing like an AMC Pacer for some reason. I don't know why. Like,
I don't know. If I could get an AMC Pacer, I would buy one.
To be fair, me and my wife were having this conversation the other day. She was lamenting that she had to drive around a old Aerostar as a teenager. I'm like, oh, I love the Aerostar. I would have gotten it. She's like, I'm sure as long as it's not like rust holes where your feet are dangling out the bottom, you'd buy any car. Like, you love them all. I'm like, that's not true. I'd still get it if it had rust holes out the bottom. She's like, you see? Like, yeah, that's my problem. So, yeah, there's not much out there I wouldn't get. Like, even the much maligned Prius. I'm like, maybe it could be cool. Who knows? I don't know. I got a love of all things weird cars. So, ooh, that's another good one. What do you think, in your own personal opinion, has the most eclectic collection of cars? My guess would be probably the import show.
Yeah, the import show probably does, because you see cars from around the world. You know, seven or eight countries are represented at this event, and that's just so cool. I mean, at the Chevrolet show, you're just seeing, you know, Chevrolet branded cars, Pontiacs, Oldsmobiles, Cadillacs, Buick. And, you know, a lot of Camaros. At the Ford show, about 50% Mustangs, 50% everything else. In the Corvette show, literally all you're seeing is Corvettes. But at the import and performance show, you're seeing so many different cars and orphan cars and cars that you just can't see on the street. And then all of a sudden, maybe you're seeing a dozen of them in one place. We had over 100 years of automotive history in motion at our import show a couple of years ago, with a motorcycle from 1913 and then like a 2015 car that was driving around.
That's awesome. And I definitely need to get up to that one. It got me thinking, though. So what's your criteria for bringing a car to a selected like group? For example, so I have my project vehicle outside that's a Volvo station wagon with a Chevy engine. Can I bring it to the import, and can I bring it to the Chevy show?
We would prefer it not be at the Chevy show because it is not an all Chevy vehicle. Mm. The import show would work because that show is based on You know, performance-based cars, imports, kits, tuners, you know, aftermarket upgrades and tweaks. So something like that would work. I mean, we do not have a street rod show, and I know that what you explained isn't quite a street rod, but, you know, at the same time, we don't allow most, if it's a street rod that's like a, you know, a Chevy with a Ford engine or a Ford with a Chevy engine, like, no, don't bring it to spring or fall and sell it in the car corral or something. But if we find it on the show field, we probably will just offer you your money back and politely ask you to go to a different show.
Oh, that's fascinating. I didn't think that would be quite the case. I thought you would be – so it's a, there is a criteria for getting into the shows. Like there is – do you have Wranglers out there walking around? Like, wait a minute. Or is this like
– I mean, not on purpose. And I'll back up a second. Like, we're not going to throw somebody out.
Well,
but, you know, at the same time, you know, we will say, hey, you know, this isn't all Ford. This show is the all Ford Nationals.
Yeah.
Your vehicle is not all Ford. And, you know, it probably doesn't really fit here in the show field. You know, you're not eligible for judging based on the fact that it's not all Ford. If you'd like to stay, you know, that's fine. But, you know, we're more than happy to offer you your money back so you're not feeling cheated out of your experience.
I got you. Well, that makes sense because when you do get onto the field, there is a judging and a criteria and all that stuff, and you can win prizes and awards, basically.
Yes.
Yeah, so that makes sense. So that I was just picturing like some sort of like guy walking around with like a Ford hat at the show, like those aren't the right rims, but obviously that's not the case. But it's
no
more,
that's okay. But you know, a couple of years ago, it was right after Carroll Shelby died, we did a special showcase of Shelby branded vehicles at our Ford show. Well, of course, Shelby had his hands in more than just Fords, and there was a Shelby Dodge on our show field. And the car audience is so divided and so passionate about their brand that, I mean, you wouldn't believe the flack that we caught for there being a Dodge at the Ford show, even though, you know, to the heart of what we were trying to present is this is a Shelby car. We are honoring Carroll Shelby.
Yeah. Well,
it didn't matter.
Yeah, it's because, you know, it's fascinating to me because this is, you know, there's parts of car culture that I just don't understand. And a large part of my blind spot is the NASCAR brand loyalty culture where,
right.
You know, I had a good friend who needed a car and not to belabor the fact, but like he went through all his criteria and I went, oh, okay, what you want is you want a Ford Focus. And he went, no, I can't get a Ford. Like, why can't you get a Ford? Well, my father will disown me. Why? Well, because he likes, I don't know, let's say Dale. I don't know who the hell it was, but like Dale doesn't drive it. He's driven a Chrysler and he's driven a Chevy, but he's never driven Ford. So I can't get a Chrysler or a Chevy. I'm like, just get the Ford. Like, why does it matter? No, you don't understand. Like, the whole family would like break up. Like, I don't understand you, but okay, go get some random ass Chevy then. So that part I don't get, and I guess that's, you know, a blind spot of mine. But I'm willing to try to understand, but I don't think it'll ever be part of my, you know, I don't care that much.
I don't get it either. Sometimes you wouldn't believe the meetings that we sit through at work. Like today, we just sat through a meeting about the new app that we're going to roll out here in a couple of weeks, and there was a background photo on the Chrysler tab that we were looking at that everyone in the room knew it wasn't the Chrysler show, but it was so like Photoshop faded that you had to really, really look to know, but it was like, well, if a Chrysler person sees that's not the Chrysler show, like they're going to be up in arms.
Yeah.
They're just going to be, you know, well, okay. I mean, part of you wants to say, what's it matter? You know, that's not the point of what we're doing here, but we try to be super, you know, aware of what the people want. And we don't want to half-ass it and just say, they'll never notice. Or, you know, well, so what? You know, this is the way it's going to be. No, we really try and make good with the interests of our audience however we can.
Yeah. I can't imagine, like, the random conversations you've had to have because of, like, super picky guys out there, you know. And, you know, it's their hobby, and I get it. You know, we all got our passion, and if this is your passion, like, I'll never be the guy who's sitting around picking apart Star Wars, but, you know, God bless them for doing what the hell they do. And, you know, Lord help you if you cross them. And those guys exist in the automotive world too. And, you know, I love most of them, but sometimes they're, it's like, just calm down. Just take it from a 10 down to like a 9.8 and it'll just be all fine. So, exactly. So the other thing too is I was sitting here going like, well, it's got a Chevy engine, but it also has a Hurst shifter. And you had your first Hurst show last year with the Chevrolet guys on the same day. So I'm curious how that all went, because it was mostly, I'm guessing, Chevy-branded stuff that showed up to that event.
Actually, not so much. We had all brands that Hurst would have had their fingers on represented at the event. So it was, maybe it was 50% Chevrolet, but then 50% everything else. And with it being at the Expo Center, you know, the Hurst people didn't have to go to the Chrysler show if they didn't want to. We didn't make them. The Chrysler people didn't have to walk over to the Hurst show. We didn't make them. But what we had was two opportunities for car enthusiasts to enjoy a weekend. And, you know, you hope that they would cross over and check it out. But, you know, that's their choice.
Yeah. Yeah, I realize I misspoke there. I said Chevy event. It was at the Chrysler event. So
I don't care.
Yeah. Well, again, I'm going to get someone pointed out to me like, you said Chevy event. It was at the Chrysler event. I know. I got a Volvo engine and I got a Chevy engine and a Volvo. Like, come at me. So the other thing, too, is do we know, like, are there any big guests coming up this year that you can kind of talk about?
Special guest-wise, like names-wise, no one's been announced. But we have a bunch of special displays this year across the shows that I think would be very – you know, interesting to share, and you know, I can go show by show, or we can just sort of work them in as we go. But you know, it's going to be a pretty cool year. A lot of milestone anniversaries for the different brands, and I think that, you know, ultimately CarlisleEvents.com is the best place to go for people to check it out. But we definitely have a lot of options with our special displays.
Well, like when you say special displays, so like what was it last year? A couple of years ago, there was the. I want to say Starchke and Hutch, but I know that's not the right one. What is the one?
That was a thing at one, like 2 years ago.
Yeah, okay. So, like that's like a special like display, like in the, I can't think of a better way to describe it, but the barn where you got like all the cars kind of like sitting in there, some of the replicas, some of the originals and all that stuff. That's a special display.
Yes, and let's just go with building because we don't want people to think that we're like some cow pasture production here. So they're just buildings, big metal buildings. But like our import show, we're doing 30 years of the Nissan 240SX. We're doing 40 years of the Toyota Supra. There's a French vehicle display and a supercar display. So you have a handful of options there. The Ford show, you get 50 years of the Cobra Jet, 50 years of the Torino, 50 years of the GT500 KR. We're celebrating the Bullitt anniversary, 20 years of the Ford Focus. And we're actually going to do a parade around the grounds with the Cobra Jet cars that are going to be on display. So not only will you get to see them, but you'll get to hear them and, you know, feel them. It'll be a sensory experience. We did a parade last year with the GTs, and then we did it again with the Corvettes. The I closed the book on a show year pretty quick in my head. What are the Corvettes that are like, they're all million-dollar cars at this point?
Oh, you are asking the wrong person when it comes to Corvettes.
C2s? Why are they special? I forget what they're called already.
Yeah, I'm assuming the C2s, because that's the second gen, but that's about where my knowledge kind of drops out of them. So I'm sure there's a special version that someone will let us know, but... Yeah, million-dollar Corvettes. Let's just
The L88s. The L88s, man. So the we had like 13 L88s at the show last year, and we had them go on parade across the fairgrounds. So these parades are very popular, and it's cool to actually see the cars go and not just, you know, sitting. So we'll do that with the Cobra Jet. At the Chevy show, it's 100 years of Chevy truck, LS engine anniversary, 60 years of the Impala, 50 years of the second-gen Chevelle, and then when you get into our Solid Lifter showroom, which is a supercar presented by the Supercar Workshop, that's, you know, some classic Yankos and things like that. So it's really cool to see those. The Chrysler show in July gives you four 50-year showcases. the Roadrunner, the Super V, the 340 Small Block, and the 68 Hemi Darton Barracuda, plus 25 years of the LH platform. And you think, like, 25 years is 1993. I mean, I don't think of anything in 1993 that in 2018 I would peg as a collector car. But, you know, here we are celebrating 25 years of the LH.
Yeah.
So
it makes me feel
and
old.
We'll do a lot of the same. We'll have some of the similar displays at the Hearst show, 50 years of the Hearst Olds, 60 years of Hearst Campbell. And the Campbell gentleman is actually still alive. He's like pushing triple digits at this point. But he came to the show last year, really liked it, and is, you know, health and, I guess, mortality permitting. He plans on coming back to the show.
That's exciting.
Yep. So truck show, you get into the Chevy truck display again, antique trucks, monster trucks, classic vans. And then the Corvette show, as we wrap the year, we're doing what we call vet rods for our special display. So we'll have, you know, the hot rod Corvettes, 50 years of the 68, and then we're doing special displays dedicated to Will Cooksey, Kent Lingenfelter, Reeves Calloway, and then you get the engineers that come to the show as well. So I know I rattled all that off real quick, but if you go to CarlisleEvents.com, it's all there one by one. In fact, that's what I spent all day doing today, was updating graphics and tech for those special displays for all shows. Mm-hmm. But it's something cool, and like I said, it's a little bit of something different at every event.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, and to show kind of how messed up I am in the head, one of the first things you said was French car display. I'm like, ooh, French cars. There's something wrong with me. I don't know what it is. It's just like, yeah, Corvettes, $1 million, and all that stuff, Cobra jets, that's all fun and fine, but ooh, French cars. I guess it's the forbidden fruit aspect of it. And that's kind of another thought I had is, you know, you got two little girls. I'm curious, you know, they've been all to the events as well. I'm not a big truck guy, but there is something about trucks which I think little kids like for whatever reason. Is that kind of like the, I don't know, like the most excited you see? I'm sure kind of like an impossible question to ask, but like, is that the most exciting event for little kids to come to?
Yes. Yeah. Yes. I mean, unequivocally, yes. My girls, I think that the noise of the monster truck scares them away. But I think that, you know, little boys coming out to the truck show, they are just in heaven because it's like real life versions of the little toy trucks they play with.
Yeah.
And, you know, I know we don't live in that same, you know, stereotypical or, you know, gender specific era that, you know, our parents would have lived in. But still, at the end of the day, for the most part, little girls play with Barbies and boys play with trucks.
Yeah.
Like, that's just kind of the way it is, no matter how anybody wants to spin it. And that's why the craft area is good at the show. But the boys and look, all the kids, don't get me wrong, yeah, all the kids love the monster trucks. But the wow factor, the jacked up trucks, the lowered trucks, the lifted trucks, the van, the monster trucks, you can go for a ride on a monster truck at our show. So people really love that as well.
Yeah. I'm sitting there going like, that is, you know, trucks, kids, 100%. And like I said, that's a aspect of this community. Another one where I'm like, I'm on the fringe of it and I like some trucks, I don't like other trucks, but that is, I can't imagine anything better for the kids. And there's like an area where the monster trucks, do they come and do like, I can't imagine, I know it's a big space, but is there big enough space for them? I know you got the stadium there, too, or the stadium seating. Is there a space where they're doing, like, stunts and stuff there, too?
I mean, what they kind of do is we sit some cars up, and they go one at a time, and they can get a little bit of an acceleration, hit the first car, pop up, come down, crush, and then accelerate away. I mean, it's not like freestyle at Monster Jam or anything like that, but yeah. You know, you're still for a $10 admission ticket or $12, whatever it costs to get into the truck show. You know, the kids getting in 12 and under free. You're seeing a couple of monster trucks in action. There's a ride opportunity. And then the last couple of years, we've actually had freestyle motocross stunt jumpers come into the show. So they've been doing their thing, and we've had some fun with that as well.
Mm. That was another weird random question I got. See, Carlisle comes up, and I get, you know, I do a week work of, you know, trying to get questions put together, and then it comes down to, you know, doing my little bit of research, and then I get random questions when I bring it up to people, which is, one of the big ones I got was, is there an event that you recommend if, like, someone wants to bring a motorcycle up to the event?
Well, we don't have a motorcycle show anymore. We used to. So at this point, it's you want to bring your bike, it's because you rode it as your means of transportation. We don't have a – we do not have an outlet to show bikes anymore.
I think my thing just did a thing for whatever reason. Are you still there?
I am still here, yes.
Yeah, okay. Technical thing just beeped at me for some reason. So I get that. So because I knew back in the day there was a thing, and then I think that's what he even said. So so no scooter show. We're just no more scooter show. Got it.
Well, if you want to see scooters on parade, you can come to Spring and Fall, Carlisle, and that older audience that we talked about earlier that doesn't drop because it's not hot, they're riding the scooters around because there's a hill.
That's true. Like the little rascals, like bzzz.
Nope, they are rascals.
So, in terms of, let's kind of, I'm curious. So, who did we have last year to kind of, you know, big guest wise? In terms of, I'm sure that's probably not something you got offhand with you, but like a few people off maybe the top of your head. So maybe we have kind of an idea of who we're going to be seeing maybe in some events coming up this year.
Well, that's not fair to say. I mean, we had, I can tell you we had Tom Wopat from the Dukes of Hazzard at the Chrysler show, but just because we had someone from the Dukes of Hazzard last year doesn't mean we're going to have someone from Dukes of Hazzard this year. I mean, I know at the Chrysler show this year, we're going to have Linda Vaughn. She's going to bounce between the Chrysler show and the Hurst event. She was supposed to come last year for the inaugural event, but she had some health issues and was unable to attend and promised us she'd make good this year. So we've got that. And then you have, like Team Chevrolet comes to the Chevy show and they come to the Corvette show, and the engineers and Ford corporate people come. And for a lot of the people that come to our events, those are the celebrities. I mean, it doesn't have to be a Richard Rawlings or a Mike Rowe or somebody like that, because the people that are so passionate about their cars, they want to meet the people that design their cars. They want to talk to those engineers and find out what went into a particular type of design. So that's what's exciting for them.
That's true. You're like, why did you do this with my car? Like, let's come have a conversation with this. Like, or I love the fact you threw a turbocharger on my Fiesta. It's so much for everyone. It's so much to do out there. I really can't think of a better way. You know, if you're trying to spend a weekend somewhere, you know, hotels are relatively cheap. Entrance is fairly cheap. It is family friendly, like we discussed. It's something for everyone while you're out there. And, you know, if you haven't been, you know, even if you're in, let's say, New Mexico, Nevada, you're out there, Iowa, somewhere where it might be a bit of a haul, I do think it's worth the time. You need to get out there because it's basically one of the American automotive meccas. Like, you need to get there. You need to experience it at least once, probably more than that in your life. And especially if you're a big nut into a particular brand, you know, if you're a Chevy guy, if you're a Ford guy, especially if you're a Corvette guy, you know, that's where you need to go. And then if you're lucky enough to be somewhere like Florida, where you get to have it, the nice weather all the time, and you guys are nice enough to go down there and have events down there with them. So I just think it's such a great spot. And, you know, all the events this year, I'm trying to talk to the Right Foot Down guys, you know, that I work alongside, coming up for a big event and come up there and, you know, spend like a whole weekend up there. We're going to see how that works out. We were kind of planning that. But it's so great. And I think last time we talked about this, I talked about this a little bit too, where there's a great, if you're listening to this and you're like, well, I still don't know if I want to go. I believe Mr. Regular did a great Carlisle, I think it was at a Corvettes at Carlisle event where he went up and experienced it. And that's kind of like, if you know, everyone's nice, there's tons to do. You just need to experience it to kind of really appreciate, like, you know, everyone in the, you know, media and Twitter, Facebook, everyone acts like they're so divided all the time, you know, this, that, or the other. But you go to an event like that and you're like, no, this is everyone from every walk of life getting together and sharing a passion, and it works out so well, and it's so phenomenal, and every time I go up there, I'm always impressed with not only the people who show up to the event, but the way you all run the event up there and how you keep it all, you know, straight. Because it is, it just looks like you're trying to herd, you know, cats, and it just works out so well. And, you know, your event staff really needs to be better appreciated than they are. Bring cupcakes. I guess that's what I'm saying. Bring cupcakes.
Yeah, that's it. Staff, I mean, well, you know, free food and beer will go a long way to offering us free food and beer. I mean, I don't think you'll get anything additional out of it, but we'll keep being us. We try to treat everybody like their family. I mean, if I went to someone's house, I wouldn't want to be treated like an outcast. I'd want to feel welcome. And we do that. And you talked about, you know, people coming from far and wide. Sure, a majority of our audience comes within, you know, about a 500-mile trip. But we get people that come from Europe. We get people that come from South America and Australia and Japan and China. And we get people that come from Alaska. And sure, the guy that came this past year from Louisiana isn't going to come every year. But he came once because he always heard about coming to Carlisle. And he was overwhelmed. And he said, I'll come back someday. I will. And that's the thing is, you might not be able to come every year if you live, you know, a little farther away, but you owe it to yourself if you're a real car enthusiast to get out, you know, check out a weekend at least once.
Yeah. At least once. I mean, and
yeah.
I think the other great thing to do is, let's say you are the Ford guy, you need to get out and you need to check out the Chevy show at least once. I think that's just, you need to take a walk
in
another branch. Well, yeah. I mean, but Go to the import, but maybe don't go to the Chevy show. Go to the import show. You know, just kind of ease yourself into it. Because it's, you know, if you really want to experience the passion of another brand, that's the way to do it. Like, if you want to be like, or if you want to just get ammunition against the other guy, you know. I have to ask, has there ever been, because now I'm thinking about that guy showing up there, maybe this is a not 100% you want to answer this question, but has there ever been a fight that's broken out because someone shows up to the Chevy show with a Ford hat on, or like someone shows up to a Chrysler show with God knows what hat on, you know, like has there ever been incidents like that? I can't imagine.
No. I there have been fights, but there's usually a beverage involved, you know, at the end of the night. No, it's not like that. I mean, people might, it's like the Bronx cheer. Somebody will get a little guff in good fun, but no one's been violent on anybody because they support a different brand. I don't know who comes to all the shows, but I have some shtick that when I'm doing the burnout contest or something like that, you know, we'll be, pushing a car out of the burnout pit, or a car will drive away and I'll make a comment like, oh, at least this guy's driving away. 2 weeks ago at the Ford show, we had to push that car out, you know, something like that. And, you know, truth or not, it at least gets a chuckle out of the crowd because you can make fun of the brand, or you get the Mustangs in the burnout pit and we're like, all right, it's a Mustang, everybody stand back. You know, yeah. Stand back, we don't have any accidents here.
Yeah.
Try to have some fun.
Oh yeah, no, I can't imagine, because again, at the end of the day, most of the automotive people are very friendly as long as you're kind of engaged with their enthusiasm, and you, part of the fun is that gentle ribbing of, you know, back and forth between brands and all that stuff. So I totally misplaced the, you know, the quote unquote topics we sent over earlier today, but I think we did a good job. I could probably go. So the first event of the year is 2 weeks from now.
We actually have one event done already. We had a show in Allentown, Pennsylvania, the second week in January. It's an indoor swap meet at the Allentown Fairgrounds. So that one has come and gone. And we are actually coming up on event two in Lakeland, Florida, Winter Auto Fest. And that runs the 23rd through the 25th at the Sun and Fun campus in Lakeland. We do a two-day auction there. We have a free car cruise in. Butch Patrick, who played Eddie Munster on the 60s TV show The Munsters, will be there as a special guest. And it's just a generally, you know, fun time, because if you're anywhere like me and you have an eclectic mix of interests, you have spring training starting as well, the Daytona 500 is going on, so there's, you know, lots of reasons to want to be in Central Florida in 2 weeks. And then we have a little bit of a respite, and then it all starts in full force with Spring Carlisle at the end of April.
Mm-hmm. And let's say someone's not brand loyal, let's say they're out there and they're just kind of like between brands. They had a bad breakup with a particular brand. Would an event like Spring Carlisle be like kind of the place to show up and enjoy?
I think if you just want to look at car stuff, yeah, spring and fall Carlisle are good shows to come to. If you want a big wow factor and a big wow experience, then consider coming to the Ford or Chrysler show in June or July, respectively. You want a good core of people, Chevy show's a good time, Chrysler show's a good time. You want to see a lot of high-dollar cars on display. Maybe you come to the import show or you come to the Corvette show. So it's, you know, like I said, a little something different for everybody. You want a good family outing, come to the truck show.
Yeah.
And the truck show, for as popular as it is, it's very much a regional show. You know, I talk about all of these events and how they draw national and international audiences. The truck show is very much like Pennsylvania, New York, West Virginia, Maryland. It's very regional with our audience.
Yeah, there's enough trucks there to go around. So,
well, yeah, and when your pickup truck might get, you know, 6 miles to the gallon, you're not going to drive it all that far.
True, and how do you haul a show truck that far, too? That's an interesting one. Do you put it on the back of another truck? Because then that's like truckception. There we go. That was a hard word to say.
There's a guy named Nick that's got like a 1978 or 79 big jacked up Ford pickup truck, and he actually puts it on a trailer. He's got a dually truck that he pulls it with, and then he's got his trailer, and he puts his show truck on the back of that. But, you know, there's some people that do it.
I have to get a picture of that. That is perfect in my mind. So,
the best part about Nick, though, is Nick's a school teacher, and Nick is in the burnout contest every year, and he usually wins every year. And I very much like always make the joke, like, I want to go back to school and have this guy be my teacher.
Yeah, really. Like, all right, so you got four tires, you blow out two, how many tires remain? Like, so.
Here's Nick's car, it caught on fire. How's this working?
Oh, okay. I think I can, yep. Hold on, let me see. Did you send it via the Skype or via the Twitters? So.
Oh, no, I was just talking like hypothetically, I didn't actually send it.
My bad, see. We'll cut that bit of idiocy out. I think that might be the first time, because I got totally confused there for a second.
Oh, that's right. I guess my... Sorry.
No, it's not you. This has been a super long week for way too many reasons. So, it's been fun. I don't know.
All right, tomorrow's Friday, though. It's like the weekend, and the Olympics are on now. You know, there's all kinds of fun Olympic sports to watch, and yeah.
Mm-hmm. Exactly. So I'll get back to being a regular human being by the end of Sunday, and then it'll start all over again. So the joys of DC in the last few years. Totally lost my train of thought. Like, pull it back, and we'll figure out where the hell we were going with that. I'm excited for all the events. I don't know. I really want to get out to the import show this year. That's something new I haven't gone to before. So, trying to think, when is the import show this year? See,
it's in May, and I want to say it's something like May 14th through the 16th, but let me look to be exact. CarlisleEvents.com is the website. May 18th through the 20th. May 18th through the 20th this year for the import performance nationals.
All right. So, this is tentative, but if anyone wants to come out to Carlisle and needs a reason to come out to Carlisle, and for whatever goofy reason, that reason needs to be Ike, that's going to be hopefully the show we get out to. So, and then there should be a whole Right Foot Down crew. I'm going to drag them along. They're talking about it. They're like, well, we want to get out to a show. Which show should we get out to? I'm like, we should do the import show, because I've done the Ford show. I need to do the Chevy show. I need to do the Chrysler show. Although there's still some painful memories of me with Chrysler there. So, but the Hearst stuff should be fun. So, I'm trying to do the import show this year. So, if you want to do it, if you want to come out and you want to see me, that's the show. And the whole Right Foot Down crew should be coming with me. Man, I have lost my ability to talk in the last 15 minutes. So, Mike, for people who want more information about the show and they want to know everything, I know you've put out the website a lot there, but, you know, they can follow... They could go to CarlisleEvents.com, if I'm not mistaken.
Correct. CarlisleEvents.com for all of our show information, or maybe you want to learn about the auctions, our new auction summer sale. It's CarlisleAuctions.com.
Mm-hmm. And you all have social media sites out there. You got a Facebook site?
Many. Yeah. Too many to offer. So we actually have links to all of our social media pages on the homepage of CarlisleEvents.com. So if you're looking for us on Facebook, just click the Facebook icon. It'll take you to our social media page, and then you can go from there. Every one of our shows has a Facebook page. So it's like 15 or so Facebook pages, and it gets hard to remember what the addresses are for all of them.
This is a question I'm curious about. If you could put one thing on the fairgrounds yourself, like money, no object, like just whether it be, let's say like just like an endless fountain of beer or something like that, or just something on the fairgrounds you could put out there yourself, you know, what would that be?
I'd like to have a carousel on the fairgrounds. A carousel or a Ferris wheel.
Ooh. Ooh, a London Eye would be cool out there.
Yeah, that'd be fun.
Yeah. See, someone's like, I don't know how he's going to take that question, you know, put something to the fairgrounds. I think that's, take that other guy. So, I gotta start dropping names, but I feel bad about it sometimes. So, Mike, it's been an absolute pleasure to have you here, have you on again. It's always a delight to, you know, talk to you and hear about what's coming up on, you know, the upcoming year. I think we're gonna have to make this a regular thing since you're such a delight. And then I think when
I'd be happy to do it again sometime, and it'll be my annual use of my Skype feature.
Yeah. I got to find a better way of doing this than Skype, but
I don't mind. Like, I remembered my password and everything, so all I had to do was, like, upgrade to the latest version of Skype, log in, and I was there.
Yeah, I feel bad, though, because that's, like, 50% of the people I talk to use Skype once a year, and it's only to talk with me, and the other 50% of people use Skype all the time and absolutely hate it. So there needs to be a better
way. There's so many different options with FaceTime and Skype and Duo, and there's so many different things.
Yeah, exactly. Yeah, Skype it is for now, but maybe we'll figure it out. So, but as long as you see, that'll be the test. We'll see how good you are at remembering passwords year after year after year. So if you don't show up on the show 1 year, it's because you forgot your Skype password. I like this plan. So,
sorry, I can always request a new password.
Ah, curses. Foiled again. So, So, Mike, it's always a pleasure to have you on. I'm going to say goodbye to you off air. Everyone who's listening, we'll be back after the quick break here. So, say goodbye, Mike.
Bye-bye.
All right, everyone. Thanks so much for listening. Make sure if you like what you hear on the show, you tell a friend, a loved one, a coworker. It's the best way to kind of help the show grow and evolve. You can follow the show on all social media at Untitled Car Show. I'm, of course, most active on Twitter. I'm trying to work on the Facebook thing. We'll get on that. Maybe Instagram. We'll see. It takes me a while to adapt to new technology. So until next time, have a good night. Have a good evening. Wherever you are, whatever time it is there. Thank you so much for listening. Please be safe out there.